Welcome to Inside the Pages, presented by the Cornerstone of Grace. We're located at 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona. Service begins at 9 a.m. That's on Sundays. And on Wednesdays, Bible class begins at 7 p.m. And we're a little beyond 7 p.m. to 7:30 because of emergency. And all of us have emergencies from time to time. And the greatest emergency that you can ever have is that which impacts you mentally and emotionally. And with that being said, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray and ask, Lord God, that you would send your help. You know, Lord God, that the situations that are occurring in the lives of your people, Lord God, they're looking for answers. They're looking for solutions, Lord God. And it comes from you. You have wisdom. You have knowledge and understanding that supersedes ours. Lord, so we pray and ask for your help, Lord God. Ask that you would move by your spirit, Lord God, and help us, Lord, to navigate these waters. Help, Lord God, the situation, the prayer requests that have come in, Lord God, to ask that you would move on their behalf, Lord God, Lord, for a peaceful outcome. Father, we thank you for your kindness and grace. We thank you for your love and mercy in the name of Jesus. Continue to watch over and keep us. Lord God, help us, Lord God, in your word this evening. Lord, we thank you and we honor you for your grace. We honor you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we want to thank you for joining the online service of the Cornerstone of Grace. If you are looking for a church home, if you're looking for ministry, if you're looking for work, some have been called into areas of ministry. All of us actually have because we're ambassadors for Christ. But maybe no one told you that, or maybe that is not being worked in your life. But here we are. You're looking for a place where to be used by the Lord. You know, join us in service. Again, that's 524 East Pasadena Street in the city of Pomona, California. 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays, the online service at 7 p.m. Bible study. Now, there's a lot that I would like to say this evening. Time does not permit. Then there's some things that just are not ready to be testified about, but there is a great testimony that is in the works. And to thank God, if you're dealing with anything, if you're dealing with any problems, let me just be transparent as I believe that in being a transparent minister and talking about what's going on on this side of town, what's going on this side of town. And, you know, not like a politician that tells you things that are, you know, to make you believe that they're homegrown. No, I am homegrown. Been there, done that. And God has delivered me. He has saved me from many things. And just as he has delivered and saved you. And I thank God that there are those that are listening that has not gone through something or have done some of the things that I did before the Lord brought me out. Now, the Lord didn't just bring me out. The Bible says that that his goodness leads us to repentance. And his goodness is urging us and leading us, but you have to be willing to follow. So you got to be a willing participant in your soul salvation. All right. Now, we believe the Bible is the word of God. Therefore, we are faithful. Now, this is not a cliche. This is not a cliche for we're faithful. Faithfulness requires actions. It is not Well, I have faith in God. No, if you have faith in God, you're doing stuff. Your faith without works is dead. So if you say, I have faith, and you're not working to do anything, and we're talking about the kingdom of God, then that's just dead. That's just, it's meaningless. We're faithful. So we're doing stuff. We're doing it unto the Lord. We're doing it for the Lord. I tell the tell young people that whatever you do in service, if you're singing, whatever you're doing, you're not doing it for a show of people. You're doing it for the Lord. Put the Lord on your heart. You preaching the word is for the Lord. And there's a difference between those that's doing it for show, and I don't care how good it sounds, because the professionals are very well skilled in what they do. And some are even anointed. However, there is a difference in what God does. And Lucifer is anointed. And so you got to be careful, because anointing don't mean that. Nope, it don't mean that God is with you. You need to understand that. And we're talking about being faithful. All of this falls under the umbrella of being faithful unto the Lord, devoted, dedicated to Him, sold out. You need to finish selling out, sell out to God. We're bold, and that's what creates the boldness, is that you sold out to Him. We believe the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the word of God. What am I doing? Are my actions lining up with the God, with the word of God? Is it lining up with the God that I serve? And that is the truth, because the scripture says that whoever we obey, that's our master. That's our master. Whoever you're following, whatever you're doing, that's your master. That's your master. Is God your master? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so that is a daily task, something we do daily, not sometime, all the time. We bring the flesh. Paul said, I crucify this flesh. I bring my flesh into subjection. I'm at war. I'm at war. And war doesn't mean that I'm beating myself up. I'm not throwing myself down on the ground and down the stairs and all that kind of stuff, running in front of traffic, you know, telling my flesh to obey. No, the word of God is what we use. We transform by the renewing of our mind. The Bible said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I believe his prayer, he said, not my will, thine be done. Those are not just words. Those are things of action. Now, I want you to remember the dates. You know, we're getting phone calls. People are looking forward to the event that is coming up at the end of May, May 30th, May 31st. That's a Thursday and a Friday. June 1st, and we'll be celebrating our SoCal Pentecost service. And so please visit connectingtruth.org for more information. There's a link there with flyer information if you have not already seen it. And we'll be consecrating on May 1st through the 30th. We're going to be consecrating. And during that consecration, we're not going to eat any meat. No meat. And so that means no fried chicken. No boiled turkey wings, no baked ham, nothing broiled, nothing. No, don't eat no raw, no fish, no nothing, nothing. Vegetables. You eat your vegetables, your potatoes, make your cornbread, make your greens, and all of that kind of stuff that you want to eat, but don't throw any meat on that plate. And don't throw any meat on it. Your kids are going to be wondering what happened. But I assure you, the Lord will bless. And maybe your husband and wife, maybe they don't believe like you, and they don't want to consecrate. And so cook for them. And maybe you present and treat them in such a way that they'll say, all right, baby, you know what? If this is important to you, it's important to me, and they may consecrate with you. He that wins souls is wise. Now, the people of Nineveh wanted God's attention. I want God's attention. I want, as the psalmist said, my heart panteth for you like a deer by the water. I am panting for the Lord. I want him, and I want his answers. I want to hear from him. The people of Nineveh wanted God's attention, so they entreated him with fasting. And God was entreated by them. And you can read about that in the third chapter of Jonah. We want God's attention, and we want his favor, like the examples that we read about. People wanted God's attention. They stopped and what they were doing, and they did certain things, like we read about in Daniel. I'm going to, before the consecration, I'm going to talk about Daniel and some things that you may have known and some things that you may have not known regarding him. Talked about the and just exhorted the scriptures on Sunday. We talked about entreating God and the impact that it has. And so I want you to understand and know that God has a listening ear for us. God is watching us. He's paying attention. But there are some things that we want God to do, and especially leading up to this service. And we're looking for a great time in the Lord and for souls to be blessed. All right. And I'm not one that promotes what the devil is doing. I want to promote what God is doing. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. So let's lift. We want to lift the Lord up. What the devil does is not a testimony. What God does is a great testimony to talk about. And so that's where I am. Now, maybe you weren't raised that way. Maybe you weren't taught that. But that's where I am. I want to magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And that's what we're going to be doing. That's what we want to do, you know. And so with that being said, let's open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. To the book of Genesis, the 26th chapter. And we're going to start at the 12th verse here. It says, then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great. Isaac became great, and he went forward and he grew until he became very great. So here we have this, the child of Abraham, the promised child that the Lord said, look, it's going to come between from you and Sarah. It's not going to come from you and Hagar. It's not going to come from you and anyone else. It's going to come from you and Sarah. That's my promise. And so Isaac is waxing great. And the Bible said he becomes very great. And you never know when that's going to happen. You never know. But it starts mentally. It starts from the inside out, not from the outside in. It starts from the inside out. Usually, many that starts from the outside, they usually self-implode. They usually, after a while, because there's nothing on the inside that is sustaining them. But when you have something on the inside that's keeping you and sustaining you, during the process, there's a different story. The 14th verse said he had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. They envied him. Yeah, they had an issue because they saw this young man growing and that he had become very great. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped up and filled them with earth. So the wells that had water in them and some that appeared to be empty, the Philistines shoveled dirt into them. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. and dwelt there. And Isaac digged wells, again, the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servant digged in the valley and found there a well, a spring of water. And the herdsmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of that place Esek, because they strove with him, and they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboam. And he said, "For now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." And he went up from thence to Beersheba. The thought that I want to talk about is, or what I would like to present this evening, is that after you've dug a well, you may need to dig again. So it is time to dig in. You're going to have to dig into this. You can't just walk around and do nothing, but you're going to have to dig into this. There comes a time that you dig for success of something. Then there is a time you must dig again in pursuit of the same goal. And in this instance, they were pursuing water, and they had dug for the water. Then they had to redig, and they had to redig. Genesis 26 says, "Then Isaac sold the land and received the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and he went forward and grew until he became very great." Until he became very great. We all like the very great part of it. We like the fact that he waxed great. Now, that's a process, and that just stands out to me right now, just really about waxing great. You know, there's a certain mold that you have to fit into to wax great. And so many do not take account in that. When you're becoming great in God or anything, you're going to deal with things, and you're going to deal with them differently. You don't have time to surrender, even when you want to surrender what you're emotionally. You may want to surrender mentally, and you cannot, because you're waxing into something that God wants you to be. The Bible said the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Now, he had possession of flocks, possession of herds, and a great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. So Isaac is 60, about 60 years old, and he's married. He's dealing with the management of what he has. And you have to manage what you have too. You have to manage those things. You can't, your substance, no matter how great it is, or you look at it and say, "Well, I only have $200. You still need to manage that. It has to be managed. If you can't manage $200, you certainly not going to manage $2,000, and you're not going to manage $20,000. You're not going to manage $200,000. You need to manage what you have. You have to respect it and manage it no matter what the amount is. Isaac and his family experienced the famine. They experienced a loss of things. Famine causes loss. We call it depressions today. We call it recessions today. We have different names for it, but it's still a famine. In spite of God's favor and blessing, they dealt with a famine. In spite of God's favor and his blessing, they dealt with hostility. And in spite of different, you know, in spite of God's favor and his blessing, they still dealt with issues that we see today. And God's blessing and his favor was on him. Now, greatness comes with a cost. No one experienced greatness you go through things to have a greatness or to have even a great testimony with what you are and what you become. Greatness costs. People want to be great. They want to be the next sensation. Well, see, there's a difference in being the next sensation and just being great. There are many great people that you don't even know about. They don't walk around bragging about who they are, what they've become. They're very humble in their role in life, but yet they're great, and they're great in what they do. They're great in what they have become, and you would not know it. I've met some very humble people that was well off. Matter of fact, many of the people that I know that are financially well, some of them drive little Subaru wagons. They buy a car and they hold on to it until that car just tears, breaks down, and it's impossible to drive it again. And you might say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, listen, their priorities are different than yours. Their priority is different. They're not trying to showboat anything. I remember working in the Hollywood Hills, doing some work there, and many of the stars and them, they drove what they drove. You would just, they looked like just regular common people. But when they went home, they went home to some very beautiful homes, but you didn't see expensive cars parked in those homes. And that's not where their assets were. And it's a great lesson that we all can learn and hold on to, that it's not the four wheels that you roll in. It's not the chain around your neck or anything like that. At the end of the day, you don't live in that stuff. You take it all off. You get out of it. And you go to sleep in your home. That's a conversation for another time. But greatness comes at a cost. No one experiencing greatness goes without a great testimony in tow. I'm not talking about those that inherit what they have. Some people inherit stuff, and so they don't know what it means to go through what those that did not inherit have to deal with. It's the same in ministry. It's the same naturally. If you have to work to obtain what you have and someone else inherited, they didn't experience what you experienced. And so there is a different cry. There's a different ministry. It's certainly different. All right. And so we're not talking about those that inherit what they have or the position they hold. There's a difference in the labor that one deals with. The struggle embodies a strength. It embodies a strength. It embodies an appreciation. It also embodies a source of tenacity. It embodies, it gives you a voice to say something because of what you have dealt with, because of what you have experienced compared to someone that never experienced it. The Apostle Paul encourages us with these words. He said, be not deceived. He said, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Here's a key. In due season. Now that season is dictated by God. In due season, we will not faint. I was talking with a pastor, encouraging him not too long ago. We were talking about ministry and the work that has to be, that we put into it. And we were, recall the history of one pastor. He had about, he had less than a dozen people in his congregation for years. I mean, years, a good decade. And it would seem like, well, why would that person stay in? Well, today, that particular ministry has about 20,000 people. And more. But had he fainted and said, well, you know, this is just not growing. I'm just not, you know, God didn't call me into the ministry. You know, maybe I got it wrong. Listen, especially if you're listening to people. And I have another word I wanted to use, but I don't think it would be appropriate in this setting. No, it's not a cuss word. Stop that. But people say things and it sounds very discouraging. But the Bible says if you don't be weary, you keep going. When it seems like you want to stop, you keep going. But when others are looking at you and trying to figure out, well, why are you still going? You keep going. You know, when you feel discouraged, you keep going. You keep pressing. You keep pushing. For the Bible says, in due season, we shall reap if we don't faint. In due season, God's season. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines stopped them and filled them with earth. And prior to Isaac's father, Abraham's death, as the scripture said, there was wells that was dug. These wells contain water, and water is used for bathing, is used for drinking, is used for cooking and plants and livestock and other sources. The importance of water and the use of it is no different today. Water is vitally important. We need water. Now, I love water. I love water. I love listening to water. I love playing in water. I love relaxing. Water is very relaxing at the end of the day. And so I am a fan of water. I love drinking water. And so are you. You're a fan of water too. And so it's vitally important, our bodies, our whole existence is water. The body is a source of water. The chicken that you cook is water. And so water goes from the throne of God. Water is proceeding from it. And so water is important. Matter of fact, it's the only substance, it's the only eternal substance that we have here on earth outside of our spirit. All right. Abraham's success and Isaac's success was viewed by some as a threat. The Philistines and other people looked at the success that these men were having, and they felt it was a threat. Abraham prayed for Abimelech and his household and others when he met him, because Abraham told Abimelech that Sarah was his sister, and God afflicted Abimelech, shut up the womb of the women. So there was no children that was going to be born. They wasn't doing nothing. They was going to bed. Maybe the men came home, thought that they were going to have some fun that night, and it wasn't happening. Maybe she came in and was thinking the same thing. It's on, but it was really off because God afflicted them. There was a situation regarding the water rights being violently taken, even in that time. And Abraham had to address that with Abimelech. So this has been an ongoing dispute. The 16th verse says, and Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. You're mightier. Now, for you that are 60 years old, I like that. You know, Abraham, it gives me something to look forward to. Abraham is 60 years old, and the Lord is prospering him. So see, age is just a number. You don't know what God is going to do and how he's going to do it. These are people who put number on things, but you don't have to abide by that rule. And certainly don't. Do not. Like his father Abraham, Isaac is asked to leave. His substance is greater now than it ever was before. Isaac's comfort zone is being disrupted. Now, he lives in this area, but it's being disrupted now because he's been asked to leave. He has to move. You know, in other words, he came home and there was a lease notice. He came home, there was a vacancy notice. He came home and there was an eviction notice. He came home and there was Notice someone else plotting land out and saying, hey, we're getting ready to buy this. He came home and there was a for sale sign. He was asked to move. Maybe you are in willing, this comfort zone, this whole comfort zone thing, it hits us pretty hard when our comfort zone has been disrupted. You're all settled in and suddenly there's change. Suddenly there's change and you're wondering what to do, how to do it. It's interesting as I was looking at this and thinking about this, because I've been there. Where was renting some property and I met a gentleman who was also renting on the same property and we recognized each other and had some words. And just as we shook hands and began to talk in my spirit, I understood that the property had been put up for sale. And that was the gift of God that gave me that insight. And so after speaking with the gentleman that was on the property, and he didn't tell me this, I went home and the next day I called the manager of that property and they told me the property was up for sale and if I would like to buy it. I was in no position to purchase that particular property. No, not that day and time. And so, things catch you off guard. And you have to figure out and pray what to do next, how and what to do, because your comfort zone and where you have settled and the things that you're planning to do has suddenly changed. And when there's change, it comes at a cost. It's not a freebie. It's not a freebie. It's rarely a freebie. And so listen, the powers that be say you have to go. It could be on the job. I went to work, got a blue folder saying that we're reducing the work staff and it don't matter about your experience. It don't matter how great you are. You're a great employee, but we're going to let you go. And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do about that because their mind's already made up. They've already typed it up. By the time they get to you, they're handing you the document that's already been filled out and processed at the corporate office. So it could be on the job. It could be a rental. It could be a car. It could be different things, and the list can go on. But it change. Change occurs because of the power that be. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. Now, this valley, it actually means G-E-R-A-R means lodging place. It was a Philistine town and considered the district of South Central Israel today. So Isaac, his family, servants, and all that him and his wife possessed had to be packed up and they had to leave. They had to leave. They had to pack it all up and they had to leave from where they were. When they arrived at the new location, they began to work and there was opposition. At the new location, they've left one place where they knew the people was familiar with them and they were told, look, you've become too great here and so you have to leave. And now they get to another location and at that location, there's opposition. They start working. They didn't get there and be idle, but they began working and there was opposition. The 18th verse says, and Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham, his father. So he went and he started digging those wells out again for the Philistines that stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called the names after the name by which his father called them. And so him and his servants, they dig the water or wells of water. And now they start to over again at this new location. And the opposition is saying, no, we're not having that. And they start fighting with them. And so sometime again, you're going to start over. You're going to, it's time to dig. We've moved, we've done things, and we got to dig in and start digging some wells of water at this new location, at this new place. Now, before they got to that new, they had to search the land out. They had to find what they thought was a good spot to dwell in. They had to search the land, which, and when they found the spot that they thought was good, they had to break the ground. Yes, remember, I mean, they didn't have no machinery or anything like that. They had to break the ground and dig into it. And so there was some hard labor that was involved. Everyone is not willing to labor, even for the Lord. No, the Bible says that the harvest is ripe. Pray that the workers will go into the vineyard, which means they are not out there. We're praying for workers to go. That means they're not out there. They're absent. Are you one of them that are you willing to go? Now, look, you willing to go mean that you, that you're trained. And I know certainly at Cornerstone, I press and encourage training and taking time to engage in labor and not leave it up to one person. All of us have to labor. If we were trying to carry this table, a table or a row of seats, it's easy to do when there is multiple people doing it compared to one trying to pick it up. It don't work that way. The load is heavier. But when there's multiple people, then it makes the work light. And so they found a spot, they broke the ground, and after relocating and the work began over again. Now, we love the messages that come, and, you know, we rejoice over them, and God will turn it around. Well, if he's going to turn it around, that means there's going to be some change. Turn to your neighbor and high five them and say, God is turning it around. Well, that means there's going to be some change. That means something is about to occur. Spin around five times and tell, that means something is about to happen. Run around the church and listen, you're endorsing that change is about to occur. That means there's going to, it's going to be unsettling, that some things are going to shift. There's going to be a shift. Can't you feel it? A shift is occurring. That means that change is about to happen. Are you ready for that? And it's going to happen whether you're ready or not. That's the thing about change is that we look at it and we say, wait a minute, I wasn't ready for that. I hadn't prepared. Change. The Bible said, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of spring water. And the herdsmen of that area, Gera, did strive. They fought with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of it Esek, because they strove against him. Now, this had not been an easy task. The people there in that area that worked the fields and had livestock and farmed the land claimed the water rights. They claimed it was theirs. So there was contention that was developed. They was disputing all the time over the water. That's why it was called Esek, because there was such great contention there. And it's not hard to find contention when people are mentally, emotionally, or physically at odds against one another. That's contention. Or maybe within yourself. I know you might think that that's being a bipolar, but listen, sometimes you're at odds with yourself because you've seen the little image where there's the angel on one shoulder and the devil on another shoulder, and your head is right in the middle, and you have these voices talking to you. That's contention. That's confusion in the midst. And listen, that's real. Now, I'm not talking about the images standing on your shoulder, but I'm talking about the fact that conflict occurs within us. It's not always what's happening on the outside. It's what's happening on the inside that needs to be dealt with. If you can get what's happening on the inside under control, the outside is all right. You'll be able to deal with things a lot better. So maybe you're in a place of contention. Sometimes we'll say, I'm in the valley of decision. Listen, you're contending for something. There's odds that are working against you. There's something going on. And the Bible tells us that the psalmist, now reading in Psalm 73, and there are many other verses that confess that the believer was in a place of contention. His own thoughts were disrupting the flow of things. Even the place, he found himself wondering, should I continue on? Because the contention was so great. And he did continue on. Your reward and the answers that you're looking for sometime is not to stop and turn around, but you have to continue on. And so the scripture says, and they digged another well and they strove for it. They was fighting for it. And you're going to have to, what your success and the goals that you're looking for, both naturally and spiritually, you have to fight for that. It's not always just easily given. They strove for it. And they called the place of that a Sitna. The same thing, contention. It's very contentious. They fought for it. Isaac and his servants, they didn't stop. The next spot also became a place of contention. Remember, in all of this strife, hatred, exchange of words, and pushing and shoving that was going on, God was yet present. God's favor was present. The blessing pronounced upon Isaac was still present. When you're doing the will of God, and I have to emphasize that, when you're doing the will of God, some people claim that I got the favor of God and, you know, I'm blessed and highly favored. Listen, I don't want to just be blessed and highly favored and not saved. You're not in this. You could be blessed and not be in the will of God. Yes, you can receive blessings and not be in the will of God. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And so that's where people are kind of messed up at, because they think that, okay, I've got this blessing and, you know, and I've won this, or I've been given this, or inherited this. It doesn't mean that you're in the will of God. It means that you have something. You did receive a reward, but it doesn't mean that you're in the will of God. And we'll come back to that another time. When you are doing the will of God, he is in the midst of all your strife. He is in the midst of all the discomfort. His favor is still there. His presence is there. And the blessing that was spoken over you is there. The Bible tells us this in Psalms 30 and 5. It says, for his anger endureth but a moment. So just letting you know that God may be displeased in something, and this only applies to someone that he's displeased with. But his anger may endure for a moment. In his favor is life. So God is all about the life. He's all about life. On our Anchor Above clothing, we talk about the vibe. Well, this is not about the vibe. This is about life for real, because vibes come and go, except if you're anchored in Christ. All right. And you, at that point, you have to let it go. But we're not letting anything go. We're holding on to what God is saying and holding on to his word. For his anger doeth but a moment, in his life is favor, or in his favor is life. Weeping, here we go, this is what I want. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Not only his anger, but yours too. Because see, sometimes when we're dealing with stuff and change occurs and stuff is happening and we don't understand, it may anger you. Well, saints don't get angry. Christians don't get angry. That is not the truth. That's not the truth. You do get angry. You do get upset over things. you do pound the fist, stump the feet, and have temper tantrums and everything like that. You do. You might not do it openly, but you do it. Everyone is not going to do everything the same way. Some people will just sit down and shut down. And so the Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. Don't go out and be drastic and do something stupid. All right. Sorry for those of you that don't like the word stupid. I'm not calling you stupid. I'm saying don't go out and do anything that is not going to be logically sound. Thank you. All right. Or according to the word of God. Remember, the best way to face opposition is by obedience to the word of God. And so sometime when you're angry, you don't know what to do. When we don't get angry. Yes, you do. You do. The Bible would tell us to stand still and see the salvation of God. Stand still and see his salvation. So you got to be still for a moment and let God work you. You may have resentment. You may be full of wrath. You may be provoked. You may be furious over what has occurred. But don't do anything that you're going to regret later. Don't do it. Well, I'm angry at him, and so I'm going to run out and act crazy. No, don't do that, because you're going to regret it. Man, she did that, and I'm going to run. No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Nope. Kids acting crazy and stuff, and rip through your last nerve, and you just want, don't do it. You know, just count to 10, forward, backwards, count to 10, to 100, you know, whatever. Calm down. Be angry and sin not. All right. And so the Bible tells us that weeping may endure for a night, but joy come in the morning. Not only his anger, but yours. Oh, yes, your anger. Where you got upset, you felt disappointed, you look for God's favor, and you look for God, and everything seemed elusive. It just was not there. It was invisible to the naked eye. It was invisible. You didn't feel nothing. You didn't feel his presence. You didn't feel nothing. You couldn't find God while you were going through that situation. Or the situation to come. But in your Noah, you know, that's they just say within my Noah, I know. And so within your Noah, I know. And I hope you know. And I hope you know that at one moment of success pays for it all. You could be catching the bus or the railway and you don't want to. And you're saving up money to buy a car, and it may take you a short period, it may take you a long period of time to get to that goal that you're looking for, and suddenly it happens. I have a brother, and I'm talking about my natural brother too, who was just he didn't buy a car. Someone blessed him with a car. They gave him one of their vehicles that they had that they were not driving. And he felt upset because they didn't give him the newer vehicle. They gave him an older vehicle that they were not driving. Well, they didn't have to give him anything at all. They could have gave it to someone else, but they blessed him with it. Now, instead of taking it, being grateful, he despised it. Sometimes we feel that it's not what I deserve more. Do you? What make you think that you deserve more? And so he felt disappointed and he felt all of those things. And he had to wait from that moment to buy his own car afterwards. You don't know what that was leading up to. And so we have to be very careful with what we do. We have to be very careful in have an attitude of gratitude. Listen, one moment will pay for it. Now, that paid for him walking and carrying on, and he didn't see that. But in that moment, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. Someone may give you a home. And you're looking at the home saying, well, you know, I got to paint it and I got to listen. Wait a minute. Hold it. And you didn't have a home to paint And that you do. That one moment right there, spent what was given to you that was had a value of $100,000. When you finish doing your little modifying to it, now it's worth $200,000 or $300,000. The possibilities. Well, one moment can pay for it all. You may not be working and someone give you a job and now you're working that job and whereas you didn't have money to save, now you have, you can start saving again. A moment paid for it all. The worry and the discomfort that you experience from being uprooted or being, or because of the change is over. It's over. All the disappointment, the unseen moments and sorrow, joy replaces all of them. And because you did not stop honoring the Lord, you didn't stop praising him, you didn't stop preaching, you didn't stop teaching, you didn't stop attending service, reading your Bible or supporting the ministry as according to what you could do, according to what you could do. Now, some people do nothing in supporting the ministry. And they could, but they don't. And they don't even sit down and think about what can I do to help the ministry, because ministry is not free. The preaching of the gospel is not free. Nope. Not unless you're just standing outside, you know, preaching. But no, buildings are not free. Electricity is not free. You know, just like your home. Just think about your home. Nothing is free in your home. And the methods and the means in which you support the gospel is not something that you do illegally like some people do in their home. Some people do things in their home that they should not be doing. And I don't want to go into that right now, but some people have visitors in their home that they should not have. They have roommates that they should not have. Nope. Mm-mm. There's other methods of accomplishing the goal, and instead it become a permanent solution. And after a while, what they're dealing with grows and it becomes influence over them as well. Not in God's world, not in the church. Because you did not stop honoring the Lord, because you did not stop praising, preaching, teaching, attending service, supporting ministry. There's a different testimony that those that did not stop have compared to those that did. Like Isaac, we have and will dig another well of water. Whatever well of water that you are digging or have dug and the enemy came along and stopped it up, it doesn't mean you can't dig another well. It don't mean that you can't uncover. Remember, Isaac went through and uncovered some of the wells that his father had dug and called them by the same name. But then there was a new well that he had to dig. And he removed from thence, see, change, and digged another well. And for that, they strove not. The struggle was over when they got to the point. I feel like I feel energy in my legs and within my body right now where I want to just give God a praise demonstratively because, and I am, I feel that praise drive in me right now to give God glory and honor because of what his word is saying. He removed from thence. So the change has occurred and change is occurring. And digged another well. He dug another well. Oh, bless you, Lord Jesus, for that, for they strove not. Now the struggle was over. The struggle is over now. They found a spot and they have dug into the ground. They've broke new ground. Hallelujah. Mighty God. They broke new ground and they call the name of it Ribble. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. Mm. Thank you, Jesus. Mighty God. The Lord has made room for us. If you don't mind, I just want to, if you will, whoever you are, if you would just give God thanks and, you know, give him a praise because he has made room for us. Now, the Bible talks about calling those things that are not as though they were, but I feel that in my spirit that the Lord has made room for us. Now, this room is already existing in God's mind, in his vision. He knows just where it is, but Isaac had to get there. He had to travel to get there. It didn't just appear to him. He had to walk from place to place. And in his walking from place to place, he dug a well and they came and there was opposition where he walked to and where they had broken the ground. It became contentious and people was telling, we don't want you here. We don't want you around. We want you to get on, keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. You know, things didn't just unfold and appear overnight. It took time to get where God wanted them to be at, the place that he had reserved for them. The place. What was going on in Isaac's mind? What was going on in Rebecca's mind? What was going on in the mind of the servants that, you know, every time we look, man, we seen that God has worked in your life and we seen what God has poured into you and what God is doing. You've waxed great. You've become strong. You become a mighty. But there's yet contention. There's yet a dispute going on. There's yet some things happening. And we don't understand and we don't know why. The Bible said he removed from thence and digged another well. And for that, they strove not. And he called the place of it Rehobel. And he said, for now, the Lord has made room for us. And we shall get this. Now, you need to highlight this. You need to underline this. The Lord has made room for us. Pastors, preachers, teachers, ministers. Listen, those that have been called, there is a place. And sometimes we're in the place and it's a place for a moment, but then God moves you through a course of action to get you to the place where he wants you to be. And then shall we be fruitful in the land. This is what Isaac is saying. For now, the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. Mighty God, bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Mighty God, what a mighty God we serve. Now, I believe the word of God. I believe what God says is true. And because I believe, there's tenacity because you believe you have that what stick-to-itness. That's what tenacity is. In spite of what's going on, in spite of what it may look like, you're going to dig another well. When opposition comes, you're going to keep moving until you arrive at that place that God has reserved for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord God, for what you've done. We thank you for what you are going to do. Lord Jesus, we look to you as the author and finisher of our faith. We look to you, Lord God, and we depend on your word. Your word is elevated higher than everything else. It's even exalted above your name. You said heaven and earth will pass away, but your word is going to stand strong. Lord God, we thank you, Lord, and we honor you. In spite of what we see and what we don't see, what we experience, what we don't experience, what we know and what we don't know, what we understand and what we do not understand, our trust and our hope is in you. Bless you, Lord. Our hope, our trust is in you, Lord. Lord, so we thank you. We thank you in advance, Lord. We're going to keep rejoicing in you. Lord, we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Lord, remember each one under the sound of my voice, each one that has taken the time out of their schedule, Lord God, to be part of this teaching. I ask that you would bless them. Lord God, let your peace abide with them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to help us, Lord God, to retain your word, to live your word, to remember your word, We'll be careful to give you praise and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for taking time to join into the teaching of God's word. Continue to pray for us as we're praying for you. And I can't wait to give the testimony that God has given unto us to encourage your heart. Yes. And listen, if you have a testimony that you want to share, send it. Go to connectingtruth.org. That's our website, connectingtruth.org. That is connectingtruth.org. I don't see it posted here. It should be coming up shortly. Connectingtruth.org. And give us your testimony. Give us your testimony of what God is doing for you. We would like to know. All right. God bless you. Continue to pray for us as I am praying for you. In Jesus' name, amen.